Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Another week, another bad week. So many things are happening in the world. So many things are happening here in the United States. Things that several years ago we would not have conceived could occur, but they are happening. So let's get started. I want to talk first about the police. I know we're getting bombarded all over the place with these police black stories, but we have to address it at each and every point if we're going to resolve it. It's a tough problem, my friends. There's a new term floating around out there. It's called badge abuse. Badge abuse. It's defined as the act of using powers granted to law enforcement, granted to law enforcement officers by the state to violate the rights of citizens. Law enforcement officers have been granted powers to violate the rights of citizens, and that is what is happening in this country. And we've got to open our eyes and see what's happening. And to those, I've got to say it this way, to those who say, oh my God, the police are always good, they're always right, it's the black people, you're not seeing what you should be seeing. You're blind to what is going on. Certainly, there are police officers being killed, such as a police officer in New York over the weekend. But look at the numbers. The numbers of blacks killed by police officers far outweigh are several hundred more than those of police officers. Okay? You can't compare the two. But I'll say this. Neither side should have anyone killed. But we're not a perfect society. We have to correct, however, what is going on now. I want to go to Baltimore. Some people are saying that Baltimore is the beginning of clearing up the situation. We may have found the way to resolve the problem. Act immediately. If charges are to be brought, bring them immediately. Help the people in their protest, permit them to protest, et cetera, et cetera. Well, let me tell you something. Baltimore is not the beginning of the new world, of the resolution of the problem. In my opinion, it's not the end, rather. I used the term beginning. I meant to use the term end. Baltimore is not the end of the problem. Baltimore is the beginning of the problem. It's the beginning of civil unrest. The Wall Street Journal and NBC News ran a poll this week, new poll, and the poll showed that 96% of Americans expect more civilian unrest this summer. 96% of Americans expect more civil unrest this summer. Now, it's impossible to get 96% of our people to agree on anything. We agree on that, you and I. Impossible to get 96% of our people to agree on anything. That has to tell you something. Something has to be going on that is wrong. If both sides, in effect, I'm talking about Republicans, Democrats, if that many people, close to 100%, believe there's a problem here, there has to be a problem because we agree on nothing. Anger is built up over the years. Today our problem is police versus blacks. All right? Tomorrow, I fear the problem's going to be whites versus blacks or blacks versus whites, either way you want to say it. Why do I say this? And I say also, by the way, tomorrow may be this summer. The problem is the economy. You see, the blacks have learned now they can assert themselves. They can protest. They can riot. Government has to accommodate them, negotiate with them. That's the way it is. And they're going to be concerned about jobs, income inequality, the high cost of education. And so what today is a police-black problem is going to become a black-white problem. Okay? Sad, but that's the way it is. Now, one of the groups I blame here is the media. The media, CBS, NBC, Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, all of them. The media has been downplaying the demonstrations. They played up Baltimore. They played up Ferguson. They reported on New York City. where the police officer was shot in the head and died, unfortunately, and they reported on the three or four other police deaths in recent months in New York City. But they are not telling us the whole story. Television, the newspapers are not telling you and me the whole story of what is going on in the country. Certainly, we know about Baltimore because it was a big thing. We know there were demonstrations in other cities, but we don't know if anything really happened. I am saying, what I am saying in effect, is that the media is not bringing to our attention everything that is happening in the country with regard to the police and blacks. They are, for whatever reason, hiding the news. Let me give you an example. In the past week, and most of these episodes I'm going to describe to you occurred over the weekend, Portland, Oregon, there were demonstrators. They were demonstrating. And they got violent. They threw chairs and incendiaries, Molotov cocktails at the police. The police retaliated, sting balls. My point, did you hear about Portland, Oregon this past weekend? Let's go to Denver. Now, Denver was all over the internet. Somebody got a video and ran it over the internet, and it showed what happened in Denver. It shocked me. It bothered me. There were protesters in Denver. They were merely masses of people in unity walking down the street, blacks, whites, primarily blacks. They took the whole width of the street. And at the other end of the street were the police lined up. Now, normally police line up with their military uniforms on, their batons in their hands and those plastic things to protect them, and they're in a line, and they don't want the people to go beyond the line. In this situation, though, it wasn't like that. The police were all on motorcycles. There had to be a number of them. I figure about 20 of them. I didn't count them, but that's what it looked like. In a line, police on motorcycles with their military outfits, of course. You know what it looked like? We've all seen pictures of Russian history at the start of the revolution where the people were protesting in the streets and the czar's soldiers were on their horses and ran down and over the protesters. And it was the same thing in Denver with motorcycles. Did you see this on TV? Did you hear about this? Did you read about it in the paper? Okay? Probably not. And what bothered me was the police officers insisted that the people get on the sidewalk. I'm telling you, they took the width of the road. How the hell could you get them on a sidewalk, which was nowhere as wide? But the people were pushed with the motorcycles onto the street. You know, gentle nudge. There was a fellow who was not getting on the curb, was not getting on the sidewalk, okay? And a police officer on a motorcycle rode up and belted the hell out of him with the cycle, sent the guy flying, just like a police officer or someone on a horse would do if they wanted to knock someone over who was walking around. This in the United States of America. This weekend also, Seattle, Washington. Did you hear about it in the news? Did you hear it on TV or in the newspapers? Seattle had a very explosive situation. The people got very upset who were rioting, and they damaged 25 cars, and they used Molotov cocktails. Bad situation. But were we made aware that the black people acted in this fashion for whatever reason in Seattle? Now, then comes, we're not done yet. We're not done. Now we go to Fontana, California. Yesterday in Fontana, California, a 54-year-old black man was walking down the street. 54-year-old black man walking down the street. A white 22-year-old white man, ran up to him and hit him in the head with a baseball bat. No reason for it. Black's walking down the street. Young fella comes up and hits him. Young white man comes up and hits this black gentleman in the head with a baseball bat. It's questionable whether he's going to survive. Now comes Charleston, South Carolina. 60 black teenagers, okay, over the weekend, went out and attacked unsuspecting drivers and pedestrians. 60 black teens attacking vehicle drivers and pedestrians. The significance of this was that all of the people they attacked were white except for one. Bad. Not healthy. Not good. All whites except for one. Now, did you hear about any of these things? No, because the national media does not bring them to our attention. You've got, and why? It's very simple. The media is owned by corporate America. NBC is owned by Comcast. Robert Murdoch, multi-billionaire, maybe trillionaire, owns Fox News. All of these national newspaper, television channels, et cetera, they are owned by the big money people, generally corporate America or individually rich people. And I have to believe, for example, take NBC, owned by Comcast. I got up this morning, I turned on Morning Joe, and all I hear is the poor policeman. Nothing about the poor blacks. It was poor blacks yesterday and the day before, but today, because I think the police officer died in New York, but it's all the poor policemen. I flip to CNN. It's the poor policemen. Okay? I go to Fox. I would expect it there. It's the poor policemen. My point being, I believe they, this is a terrible thing to say, I'm only a little guy, but my sense is they get the word from upstairs that this is the line that you must take, and they take it. These guys are making a hell of a lot of money, no matter who they are on these shows. They're getting $1 million, $2 million a year, $800,000 a year. They're terrific. You sit back and talk and pontificate, and they're going to do their master's bidding. Now, let me go to another why. Why has all this been happening with the police and everything else? I'll tell you. Four years, not F-O-U-R, F-O-R, 4 years, our politicians have been preaching hate and division, hate and division. And so has the mainstream media. Now, you know, we're split. We're 50% Republican, 50% Democrats. No one talks to each other. They call each other names. Remember a couple of years ago, President Obama was making a State of the Union address, and a Republican congressman yelled out, liar. Nice? Not nice. You respect the man. You may not agree with him. Tell him afterwards in private. You can't have this hate and division being preached by your political leaders. And after a while, it gets imbued into the people. And you can't have the mainstream media telling you only what they want you to know, because what they want you to know is not consistent with what we should know, all right? So that brings us to today. What we have today is a divided nation filled with hate. We have a divided nation filled with hate. It's terrible. It almost brings me to tears. It's awful. And it's not going to stop. Not for a while, maybe not for a long while. And what's police in black today is going to be police in white down the road. Let me talk about water now. Water. You will recall I talked about water last week, and I wrote an article 2 weeks ago on water, the scarcity of water, the California situation. I did an in-depth study on why does California have this drought? Well, we know they don't have enough water. What are people doing because of this? Well, I thought Governor Brown's starting too late to remedy it, but he's on the road. But I did point out that the banks in 2008, the banks, you know, the whores of the world, the same people who gave us this big recession in 2008, caused millions of people to lose their homes, these same banks in 2008, the big banks, the Citigroup banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, started buying up water rights all over the world. At the same time that they were broke and we had to bail them out, our banks were buying up water rights all over the world. 2008 they started, because they knew water's going to be, it's like gold pretty soon. All right? And this is the way it is. And we still have drought problems. Let me tell you what's happening now. We've all heard of the Hoover Dam, one of the proud construction jobs in the United States. Done during, I don't know if it started with President Roosevelt, I believe it did, and was one of the big things that probably helped us get out of the recession, because it gave tons of people jobs. The dam's the dam. It has two lakes around it. One lake is Lake Mead. The lakes, by the way, are artificially made back in 1937, all right? So let me tell you what's happening with Lake Mead. Lake Mead is the largest reservoir in the United States. The largest reservoir in the United States. When the lake is filled to capacity, it helps provide water to 40 million people in Nevada, Arizona, and California. For 15 years, the drought has been affecting Lake Mead. This is one of the body of water that sits on one side of the Hoover Dam, has been affecting Lake Mead. And Lake Mead, over a period of 15 years, has been described now as a mud puddle surrounded by a huge, chalky bathing ring, like you have on your bathtub. The lake is running dry. There's still water in there, but the lake is running dry. Let's talk about the water level. It is described as being below operational level. The level of the water in Lake Mead is the lowest since it was filled. Remember, this is an artificial lake in 1937. The water level is the lowest since it was filled in 1937. In the last 3 years, the level of the water has dropped 44 feet. This past year, 15 feet alone. Now, the federal government owns this stuff, Lake Mead and Hoover Dam. So this is considered a federal water problem, a federal water emergency problem that is brewing, has not hit yet. It's around the corner. The government isn't taking proper attention to it either, the federal government. It's right there. Because the scientists say if Lake Mead drops four more feet, the problem is definitely an emergency problem, and that the states of Nevada and Arizona are going to suffer dearly. They're going to have a dramatic lack of water, loss of water. California won't, and I'm not sure why. Perhaps California has other sources of water. And then we're going to go into rationing. Rationing, if it drops 23 more feet, going to have to ration water in Nevada and Arizona, as California is starting to do now. Pay attention to this. This is going to be a national problem. Actually, it's going to be a world problem. It already is a world problem. People worldwide do not have enough water to drink and do whatever else they have to do with it. It's going to be like people are, like gasoline. People are going to fight over lands or countries where there's oil. If you got water, there's going to be wars because of water. I want to talk about Monsanto now and their great pesticide Roundup. Roundup, you recall, was manufactured by Monsanto. Monsanto is the leader in genetically modified organisms. They have these super duper seeds, super duper everything. They came out with a super duper pesticide several years ago called Roundup. It was going to kill everything, and it was going to make our vegetables and our fruits grow bigger and better because there wouldn't be insects and bugs eating at them, okay? Well, Monsanto, first of all, doesn't have a good reputation. Some people like them in the United States. I know our Congress likes them and our presidents. Monsanto has a ton of laws on the books that permit them to do whatever they want in this country. It is the only country in the world that permits them to do what they want and get away with what they are doing, which is generally wrong. If you go to Central America and Europe, some Central American countries have thrown Monsanto out. We don't let you produce anymore. We don't let you manufacture and take your pesticide with you. In Central America, they found that the farmers, the people working for Monsanto, working with the pesticide Roundup, were getting cancer and dying. And they've had cases where they believe what the people are ingesting are dying because Roundup is a carcinogenic. Just last month, the United Nations said that Roundup is a carcinogenic. Now, let me talk about Putin. You know, we all don't like Putin, but I got to tell you, the guy's got brass testicles. You knock him down, he gets up. And he said about 2 or 3 months ago, he threw Monsanto out of Russia. And he said, and I quote, "Let the United States die. Let Monsanto kill the United States. We're not going to have them here." Okay? If the United States wants their stuff, let them use it. We're not going to use it in Russia. Now, what am I telling you all this for? This is old news. Because what's happening right now is this. I don't sleep well. Has nothing to do with Roundup. I don't sleep well. But in recent weeks, I watch TV all night. I'm up half the evening. I see on television advertisements for Roundup. Lowe's, you know, like not Home Depot. Home Depot sells it. Lowe sells it too, but Lowe advertises it. Last night, in the middle of the night, they had this gigantic advertisement on television for Roundup. Just saying, buy Roundup, whoever made it, which would be Monsanto, though you didn't know it. Monsanto is going on this big thing to promote Roundup. And why are they doing it? Because for the last year, they've taken a beating with Roundup. Their big pesticide seller, where they were making tons of money, they're not able to anymore. And they're going to bring it back. And this brings me to something I shared with you a couple of weeks ago. Do you recall when Romney was running for president 3 years ago? He was at a meeting. He thought of other heavy hitters, wealthy men, were going to donate to his campaign, and it was private. Nobody knew what he was saying. And he said 47% of the people don't count. He wasn't aware that a bartender at the event in the back was filming on his was videoing on his cell phone what Romney was saying, and it hurt him. It hurt him badly. Well, the same thing is occurring here. Roundup is going down the tubes. Monsanto's not going to tolerate it. There was a conference about 2 or 3 months ago somewhere of Monsanto suppliers, dealers, scientists, I don't know who, but it was a big conference, and it was supposed to be closed and private. Only Monsanto people were there. And the speaker said, in response to a question about what are we going to do with all these attacks on the company, don't worry about it, the speaker said. We have a special department, well-developed, talented scientists, lobbyists, lawyers, and every time an issue comes up, we beat it. We go out and we fight it like hell. And what am I trying to say to you right now? That's what they're doing here. They, just like Putin has brass testicles, I think, and I've said this before about Monsanto, they have brass testicles. How can they sell to the American people, to any people, a pesticide that is a known carcinogenic? It doesn't make sense to me. Money isn't everything, especially to a company that makes so much money. They don't need all of it. Okay, now, where are we going? We're going to go to Oregon. Do you remember last year a gay couple went to a bakery and asked the bakery to make them a cake for their same-sex marriage? And the couple said no. The couple, by the way, were Aaron and Melissa Klein, and they run in Oregon a place called, it's just a bakery shop, Sweet Cakes by Melissa. Nothing big, Sweet Cakes by Melissa. Well, they still haven't made that cake for the same-sex couple, but what has happened to this Oregon couple who owned a bakery? Well, Oregon has a law, and the law says that a private business cannot discriminate against people because of their sexual orientation, that a private business cannot deny service to persons because of sexual orientation. And so, 2 weeks ago, the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries fined Aaron and Melissa Klein $135,000. Boy, that's a lot of money. And I don't think these people can really afford it. They're a mom-pa operation. I saw them on television. They look relatively young, maybe 30, 35 years old. And had they said they would sin no more, I'm sure to the Bureau of Labor and Industries, they would have fined them $100, $200 and say, okay, go on, don't do this again. But they keep doing it, and they insist they're right. They have this religious right. And I think we carry religious rights too far in this country also, but that's another issue. Anyhow, Aaron and Melissa Klein were asked, what are you going to do? Well, they're going to keep pushing ahead. I mean, you know why this happened to them? And they feel on religious grounds that they're very strong. They believe, and I didn't make this up, these are their words, it's Satan at work, the devil at work, and they will win in the end, not Satan, but Melissa and Aaron will win in the end because they are part of God's plan. God is on their side. Satan at work, part of God's plan. These, God bless them. I admire their religious fortitude. they got to pay for it, and they're going to pay for it. They're going to fight this thing, and in the end, it's going to cost them a hell of a lot more than $135,000. Which brings me to Ivory Soap. My mother raised me on Ivory Soap, that white bar of soap. That's all we ever had in the house. Then at some point, after I got married, my wife stopped using Ivory Soap, and we started using Dove. And I've used Dove for years. But Ivory Soap's still out there, and it's being sold. I wrote my column for this week's Conk Life on Ivory Soap. The history of Ivory Soap. Very, very interesting. And I called it 99.44% pure. And it's the story of how it came into being. You know, it floats, how it came to float, and they used it as an advertising thing. Then how did they find out it was 99.44% pure, the story of that. And then the story back in, I think it was 1972. I shouldn't laugh. This is sad. It's terrible, but this is the way things happen in our country. Marilyn Chambers had been the Ivory Girl for a long time, a couple, 2 or 3 years at least, and her picture was on everything that was ivory, soap, box stuff, anything. Her Procter & Gamble put her picture on everything ivory, holding a baby, okay? It was Marilyn Chambers, bare-shouldered, the baby bare-shouldered in her arms, looked like Madonna and Child, pure. It spoke out, it yelled, it screamed pure. Well, then Marilyn decided to become a star in the pornographic film industry. Now, this was when porn films were just breaking out into the big time. No more adult bookstores. You could go to a little movie around the corner in a dark neighborhood. You can go to the regular movie where you saw Sound of Music playing and things like that, and you can see a porn film. She starred in the second big porn film, Behind the Green Door. In fact, they were showing in the same theater, in the same room, Linda Lovelace in Deep Throat and Marilyn Chambers in Behind the Green Door. Pure porn, no question about it. I'm laughing as I say this. It's amazing. Well, anyhow, Ivory went crazy because they're still selling their product with her picture and the baby on it. And it's the story of what Procter & Gamble had to do to resolve that problem. They have more problems since. I wrote an easy story this week. If you have an opportunity to read the Conk Life story on Ivory Soap, please do so. You will find it interesting. Not particularly revealing, just an interesting story. It's like a couple being married for 50 years and the problems they have with each other. Okay, which now brings me to a little place called Andorra. Andorra is a tiny mountain ringed place somewhere between France and Spain. It sits up in the mountains between France and Spain. It's very, very small country. It's become a tax haven. The United States recently accused an Andorra bank of money laundering. Can you imagine? This is the new place for money laundering, by the way. The tax evaders, corporate America who don't want to pay taxes, organized crime, the Russian gangsters, the Chinese mafia, those laundering money are putting their money in the Banca Privada in Andorra. And what's happening, quite frankly, is it's wrong. Our government's irritated. They're doing something about it. What I found that interested me the most, Venezuela, which is in terrible shape. Nicolas Maduro is the worst president in the world. He's the guy that ran out of toilet paper, milk, diapers, and still is. The politicians are corrupt. They're putting the money they're grabbing, the government, for themselves from the oil business and putting it in the bank in Andorra. Isn't that nice? That is the show for this week. I hope you have enjoyed. I had a couple other things I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the banks big time. They're doing bad things again. We'll get to it next week. It'll probably be my lead topic. Thank you for joining me. I enjoy speaking with you every week. I enjoy your comments afterwards. Please continue to listen and ask your friends to listen. The show's archived. You're going to get on Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, Facebook, Key West Lou, and also Facebook Louis Patron. I wrote a book, The World Upside Down. Please buy it if you like the show. If you don't like the show, don't consider buying it at all. Thank you again for joining me. I look forward to being with you again next week.